On Triple J, this is 2017.
Okay, joining me tonight on 2017, Mark Zito, the Melbourne musician who is best known to the world as Fractures. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Very well, Richard. How are you?
Very well. I've been enjoying this record, as I just told you before. You're pretty happy with it, but it comes and goes. You've got feelings of angst some days when you listen back to it, but other times you're feeling good about it?
I think I'm in the peak of it now, of the happiness. It's a relief, I suppose. Yeah, during the process, I suppose, you lose sight of things and you hear songs 200, 300 times and you kind of, you forget why or how they came to be. But now I've definitely kind of, now it's a package. I'm definitely happy and wrapped with how it's turned out.
Yeah, it's a good record. It's a very solid body of work. Let's talk about how you do work, because I'm curious to know, do all your songs start on guitar?
No, that's probably a newer thing. I am a guitarist probably by trade, but because I'm less familiar with keyboard, you know, your hands end up in different places and things like that, and you come up with voicings or whatever that sound a bit more unique, whereas on the guitar I tend to follow patterns that I've always played. So yeah, I've kind of leant back on the guitar just because I'm comfortable there. It just feels right.
I like your guitar style. Who are some of your favorite guitarists?
It might be surprising, having listened to the album, John Mayer was probably the most formative guitarist for me, and he's got his influences. It can be a bit of a taboo to mention his name in some circles, but as a blues guitarist, he's not unparalleled, but he's definitely up there, and he's got the Hendrix and the Stevie Ray Vaughan. And then I've always loved the kind of overlaid, layered style of Tom York and Johnny Green. Oh, God.
Johnny Greenwood.
Thank you. I was going to say someone else. I love that kind of clashing arpeggiated guitar they do. So it's kind of, a mix of those two, probably leaning more to the Radiohead side of things, because I tend not to put guitar solos in my work.
So older brothers I know you had, and they were pretty formative on your musical development, weren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. There's 8 years between myself and Andy, the eldest one, and I mean, he came up through the 90s, so anything that was on Triple J pretty much came down in his CD collection. So any number of bands you can mention, I'm sure I've heard through a bedroom wall at some stage, and it's probably had more influence on me than even my teenage years, I would say. Those bands probably still stick around, some of the more angsty rock and even grunge and things like that. He was very heavily into. I've definitely kind of kept them in smatterings on certain songs.
Were you, when you were a teenager and sort of, you know, starting out, did you play in really heavy bands? Because a lot of people who do actually end up playing sort of more moody music in their 20s sometimes come through either a punk or a hardcore background.
I didn't quite make it to the hardcore level, but I definitely did delve into the prog rock style. None of it saw the light of day, which is probably for the best, I think. And I was also a bassist, so I kind of made my way through funk bands and even a bluegrass band at one stage. So I've tried most things and I've landed, I think, where I'm most comfortable.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you kind of work through, don't you, kind of as a developing musician, you kind of work through these styles, and then maybe a couple of years will be enough and you'll move on to something else.
Pretty much. I mean, it wasn't that it was unfulfilling so much, but I suppose you spend a certain amount of time in a certain area and it doesn't progress for whatever reason, and you kind of say, well, that's enough, let's try something else. And yeah, so this stuck for whatever reason.
And your eldest brother, 8 years older than you. How many other brothers?
Well, there's a sister beneath him, and then another brother below her, and then I'm lucky last.
So you're last in the family.
Yeah, so I got it all. I was a hand-me-down musical child, I suppose.
So as well as being musical fans, did they play music themselves?
Yeah, they've all got talent in whatever instrument they play, and so that lent itself to me, you know, holding myself to a certain standard, because they're all very handy. Not all have pursued it necessarily, but it definitely is something that's kind of binds us, I suppose, yeah.
Do any of them ever appear in Fractures music?
Absolutely. Andy, the eldest, is he's my keyboardist and backup vocalist live, and he always looked out for me when I was younger and included me in any projects he was doing and things like that. And when the time came around, I didn't owe it to him as such. I wanted him to be in it because he's a great musician, and so it's, yeah, kind of came full circle, and he's stuck around the live band and we've had zero problems, which is great. can't make that clear enough.
Yeah, I was going to say, you knew what question was coming. So that's pretty unique. I mean, especially given that there's 8 years between you, he would see himself as very much the eldest, you know, the one that's kind of handed down this experience or these influences. So he's fine to let you fly and direct the project and not sort of interfere too much and follow direction?
I mean, yeah, in the sense, if someone makes a suggestion, I'm open to it, but I suppose it's not totally democratic. I have ultimate power and I can say yes or no, but no one's come out with anything so outlandish. But ultimately, it's only in the live setting that that's really a problem. When it comes to the album, it's all me signing off on it and playing it, in fact. And the album, unfortunately, I didn't get any of the live band beyond the drummer in there. So,
and that's it. Otherwise, it's all you.
It's all me, yeah. I'm a bit...
Control freak.
Yeah, let's go with that. I think
okay. Mark Zito, who is the Melbourne act Fractures, the very first record, full-length album, is now out, came out on Friday. The album is called Still Here. We're going to hear a couple of pieces from the record in just a moment. I want to take you back to your first track.
I don't want to have to start again. Never set my mind.
So when you hear that now, that's 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it got a lot of attention, you know, Unearthed picked up on it pretty quickly. Triple J started playing it. It got you, you know, got your name out there pretty fast.
Absolutely.
When you listen back to that now, having done a full-length album, sure. do you hear it in a very weird way, in a removed way?
I suppose so. I can't even remember how or why it came to be. That's probably the question that comes to mind first. It's not a painful experience, so I still enjoy the song and I'm happy with how it came out. But I suppose... there's always going to be progression there, so trying to get nostalgic and those things can sometimes be awkward. But that song I'm happy with. There are other songs, perhaps, if you ask me about, I might, if I had my time again, have approached them differently. But no, I stand by that one.
We're going to sort of play a track in full, which is the latest single called Low Caste, which is a really great track. But another one of the tracks which has kind of come out leading up to the release of this record is this one. So immediately when you hear that compared to Twisted, you can kind of hear the fuller sound and the experience come through in 4 years. So you've learned a fair bit, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so. It would be disappointing if nothing had changed. Yeah, it's a bit more grandiose. Perhaps my ambition is inflated somewhat, or my ego or something. Probably there is a limitation in what I was doing 4 years ago. I was still living at home. I was working off a laptop and things like that. So my ambition was curtailed by... literally the gear I had and probably what was available as far as sampling and all those kind of things at the time. So I think those kind of advances have kind of probably steered it in another direction as well. And also having played live a lot more has definitely been pretty influential.
Yeah, there's nothing like seeing a reaction from an audience to know whether the stuff is working or translating.
That helps. Yeah.
It does. Okay, Mark, let's hear a track from the Fractures record Still Here in full. Just tell us a little bit about Low Caste. I really love how this song builds. It's a very Australian song. I hear it and I go, this could only come from an Australian act. I hear it in the guitar work. We talked a little bit just off air about you teaming up with someone like Wayne Connolly, who has worked with you or me and been a great producer over the years. How do you hear Low Caste and what sort of a song is it to you?
Well, that's a first, the Australian sound, but I'll take it. I mean, I am Australian. It makes sense. It was definitely a song that was driven out of trying to simplify things and focusing on lyrics and melody, which I always do, but they often kind of take third place behind the music and the general vibe and things like that. And I just wanted to just create a basic foundation and build from that. And then getting Wayne on board, he definitely honed in on that very quickly and kind of shaped the sound and... it was just something I locked myself in my manager's beach house one weekend and next thing I knew it was just sitting there and I was kind of grappling with whether it would fit into the catalogue and as time went on and I showed it to people and the reaction was positive, I said, well, I guess it's a keeper and there it is.
Yeah, I liked it. It was a surprise to hear it from you. I wasn't expecting a track like it, but it was immediately I liked it and as I said, it builds really nicely. I want to talk to you about your lyrics in a moment, also your singing style,
sure. But
let's hear it. This is Fractures on Triple J and the song is called Low Caste.
Slow down, you're running again. Blackout, it's creeping in. Whole time wondering how to breathe again. Focus the energy. Lost faith in the combination. Hold your tongue to see and leave again.
So there it is. That is Locast, the current single from the album Still Here by Fractures, and Mark Zito, who is the Melbourne musician behind Fractures, still with us. The singing style, have you ever tried a baritone? Have you ever tried to hit the low register? Do you have a low register?
I'm sure I do. I haven't really delved there yet. I don't know. I've got no formal training is probably my problem. So I guess to 11, my voice writers can't control it. And it starts to waver and it sounds like I've got an illness. So I stay out of those ranges, but the softer I sing, the easier it is for me to hit those notes. So I'm kind of exploring that right now, kind of in the aftermath of the album.
Have you thought about singing lessons?
Yeah, of course I have, but I don't have any money. So,
have you asked how much they are? Are they expensive? Are they?
They, depending on where you go. My brother, funnily enough, is a singing teacher. But
oh my God, is this Andy?
This is Andy.
Andy's a singing teacher as well.
I suppose I hit my notes well enough live that it hasn't been a major problem. But I suppose in a way, it kind of
He hasn't passed on any tips to you.
Not major tips, maybe breathe every now and then when my face starts going blue. But beyond that, it kind of serves you well in the sense that you have to be more creative with melody. Not that I'm defending my lack of technique, but it forces you to be a little bit more creative with the slimmer kind of note set you have to choose from. So in a sense, it can be helpful, because if I was too much of a virtuoso, it might not work in my favour, if that makes sense.
Sounds like you're finding excuses to get out of singing lessons.
No, I'm very busy, been sick, got a cold. So
it's a very vulnerable side, especially if you've been making music for a while. I think some people would feel cautious about opening up and saying, well, I've never had training and this is the way I sing, and then all of a sudden you've got to restructure how you hold your jaw and how you approach the microphone and all that sort of stuff. And I think it can be daunting for some people.
It would be daunting. It's definitely something I'd love to do, given the financial situation somewhat perked up. But at the same time, for whatever reason, I'd almost be afraid of losing the voice I have. Like, I've definitely heard people who have had singing lessons and they come back more powerful and controlled, but something in their voice becomes maybe a bit more homogenized or something like that, because they're kind of doing everything to the letter of the law, or however you want to say it. So there probably is a fear in there somewhere, but one day it will happen.
Okay. What about with the lyrics that you write? Are they very personal?
Song by song, they are. Definitely I've started delving into concepts I've dealt with and I'm grappling with as I get older and things like that. For the most part, when I wrote the EP, I was, I think, 23 or thereabouts. There wasn't much happening in my life that was really worth writing about. I was very happy. I'd been traveling. I'd been doing everything that, you know, someone in the early 20s was doing and having a great time. And since then, nothing particularly turbulent has happened, but I suppose I've gotten more introspective as I've gotten older, and you start asking those questions that everyone asks themselves and trying to deal with matters in your own way. And so there are bits and pieces throughout the album, but I do lean on other people's stories quite a bit, because I sometimes just find them a bit more interesting than my own.
Okay, Mark, there's just one other thing I just wanted to play you. That's a song we played a lot of from Setmo, which features you. Now that
sounds a lot like me, yeah.
That was a surprise.
It was a bit. I mean, perhaps not to people behind the scenes. I've always kind of had a yearning to write and sing on pop songs. It's just that Fractures hasn't been the right vehicle for it as such. So definitely something I'm exploring now and pushing pretty hard is I love writing pop songs and I love listening to them. I probably listen to them more than the music that you'd think I would. So when that popped up, when that opportunity came and we gelled and it worked really well in the studio, it was exciting for it to actually come to fruition, because a lot of those writing sessions, they don't see the light of day. And they're a good exercise, but that one, yeah, it just worked from the get-go, and yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, no, it's a great vocal. Have you had any further offers, especially from dance producers after that track?
Not offers so much. I suppose post that I really got heavily into the album making period, so I kind of had to prioritise. There are definitely things in the work. I've got a track on Airling's album coming out soon. I've been working with Yo and Japanese Wallpaper and people like that. And again, the hope is that these things actually come out to the world, but there's no guarantee, unfortunately. But
I've actually read that the Airling record does feature you.
So I'm there, I know. That's why I said it.
So you made it.
I've made the cut, which is great, because you don't know.
So. Is that a duet with her?
It is, ultimately, yeah. We wrote that a while back. But so you lose track of it, and then you hear it's it's going to make the cut. So it's exciting. I'm hoping people enjoy that song because I really enjoy it.
I'm really looking forward to hearing her record as well. She's been building up to, you know, to this point, and it's been exciting.
Good.
Yeah. Okay, Mark, better let you fly. Let's play one more track from the album Still Here by Fractures. I really like this track called Time Frame. Tell us a little bit about it and how long it took to compose, what it's about, all that sort of stuff.
The composition, this is one from way back when. I think this. I've been sitting on this kind of just post my EP, so it's 3 to 4 years old. And it definitely went in and out of favour as far as the album was concerned, and then re-recorded it properly and it sounded good.
What's it about?
It's, I suppose, about unrequited love. And that's the most basic kind of summary I can give. It's not a personal one, unfortunately, because people always love me back. I'm a lovable person. But
never experienced unrequited love.
I don't imagine
Mark can never draw on that experience at all.
I don't know what that'd be like. So it's about that in a nutshell.
Okay, fantastic. Let's hear it right now. Congratulations on this record.
Thanks so much.
Dreaming, I've been hearing things you won't say. I've been living in a time frame.